Good morning. It is good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you for being here. We are an expository preaching church, so we have been walking through the entire Sermon on the Mount, verse by verse, passage by passage, and we are getting close to the end of this sermon. We're in the last few weeks of that. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14, we started this passage last week as we have been looking at the narrow gate, the narrow road, the wide road. And so we're going to continue in our two-part teaching on the two gates this morning and look at the two roads this morning. As we've seen through the Sermon on the Mount, throughout this most incredible sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached because it came from Jesus. Throughout this sermon, Jesus has been teaching his followers, his listeners, what a true citizen of heaven looks like. And Jesus is describing through this entire sermon what true followers of him, what true followers of Christ looks like. And we saw at the very beginning of the sermon that it all starts with humility. Matthew 5:3, do you remember this one? The first of the blessed attitudes, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. True believers have humility. They fall to the foot of the cross. They fall to Jesus, realizing that they need a Savior, realizing that we are dead in our trespasses and our sin, and that we need Christ. Jesus then goes on to describe that a follower of Christ, the way they live, their character, it goes way beyond just a religious list of do's and don'ts. And sometimes we get confused by that. We come to church and we hear these, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, and we get confused in trying to follow religion. But what Jesus says, it goes way beyond that. He said, the way Christians, believers, followers of me are to live goes way beyond religion. And we saw that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. He said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That verse right there should bring us right back to verse 3, poor in spirit, right? Jesus then goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to describe how to live this call out in our lives. He gives us instruction on giving. He gives us instruction on fasting. He gives us instruction on how to deal with materialism and worry and wrongly judging others. He gives us instruction on prayer. And it all kind of culminates to the golden rule there in verse 12 and how we are to truly love others the way Christ loves others, the way he loves us. And then we come to this point in verse 13, and it's as if he is saying, okay, this is what it looks like to be my follower. So now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? It doesn't do much good to just sit and listen to a sermon and admire the sermon and then continue to do nothing. You cannot just sit there and admire the teaching. This all requires action. Reminds me of James chapter 1, verse 22, where James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." And the remainder of this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, it's as if Jesus is saying, you have two options. You've heard the truth. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the teaching from me. This is what a true citizen of heaven, a child of God, looks like. Now you have two options. Either follow me and find life, or stay in the world which leads to destruction and death. These are your only two options. You can't just stand outside the two gates and admire them. You're going to be on one or the other. And so he commands that word, enter by the narrow gate. Enter means he's commanding us, he's pleading with us. Enter the gate that leads to life. And so last Sunday we looked at why the gate is so narrow. What makes that gate so narrow? And we know that it all stems from one reason. And it also comes from Jesus' teaching, from Jesus himself, John 14:6, which says this, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a narrow gate, isn't it? When we think about the world and what they would say. Why is the narrow gate so narrow? We can only enter it alone. What do we mean by this? Is we don't get to heaven because of other people. We don't get to heaven by just following a group down the aisle at camp. We don't get to heaven because grandma or grandpa took us to church. It is a call on our lives. It is a call to us. It is a personal relationship with Christ. It is a true calling from the Holy Spirit. It is true faith. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. The gate is also narrow because we can't bring anything with us. We can't bring our good works. We can't bring our great personality. None of that. And we know that also because of the truth of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's nothing that you did. It is the gift of God, not a result of your great personality or your works or anything that you've ever accomplished. Why? So you can't boast about it. It is because of God and Christ alone. Why is the gate narrow? Why is this gate so narrow? Because it demands repentance. You don't walk through it thinking you're pretty good. You walk through it on your knees at the foot of the cross, poor in spirit, saying, I need Jesus, and I repent of my sin. Realizing that we are sinners, admitting and confessing our sins, agreeing with those sins, realizing that only Christ can forgive us, it is a very narrow gate. And so this morning, we're going to look at the narrow road. We're going to compare that a little bit to the wide road and see how that compares with the road that so many are on, Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your truth. Thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. Thank you so much that you loved us so much, that you died for us, that you rose again, that you defeated death, you rose again, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for providing a way that leads to life. You're giving it to us. You're telling us the truth of all this. I pray that you would help us to hear. We know that hearing the word produces faith, and I pray that you would call people to be your children this morning. I pray that you would call people online to be your children this morning. I pray that you would speak to those of us that are true believers to look at where we are, to remember what you did for us, to remember that the way, the narrow road is difficult, but that it leads to joy and life. Remind us of those this morning. Again, speak to us. We love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's look at the wide road, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Then he says, Jesus says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. So we're picturing this super wide, multi-lane highway, whatever you want to picture. But what Jesus says very clearly is that that way leads to destruction. And I was thinking about that for a minute. I was thinking, if you're driving down a road, and then you saw, you know, a split, and there were two signs, and the sign said, this way leads to your death. This way leads to life and life abundant. Which way would you turn? Like, well, I really need to get that direction. It says it leads to my death. Would you question it, or would you just go, no, I'm not going that way. I'm not going that. Bridge out. If you follow this road, you will die. Jesus is very clearly saying that there's two ways. This way leads to death and destruction. So why are so many on this road? And what this means is that Jesus clearly is warning his listeners that if you enter the wide gate, it will lead to destruction. And so we ask the question, so why do so many choose this gate? Why do so many choose to go on this road? Why are so many on this road? Let me just give you a few reasons why so many are going down that path to destruction. And Jesus clearly says it. The reason that so many people are on there is it's because it's easy. It's just easy. Why is it easy? It's because, well, it's attractive. You can take anything you want on that road. You know what you get to take on that road? You get to take your truth. I love that phrase today. You can take your truth with you. You can take your baggage with you. You can take your great ideas. Just contrast that with Ephesians. You know, not by our works, so we can't boast. But the wide road that leads to destruction, you can take all your great ideas. You can. You know what? You know why people go down that road? Because you can take any sinful desire that you want. You can stay on that road, and all you have to do is follow your own desires. On that wide road, you can take any thoughts about spiritualism or spiritual life, your own religion, it's all fine. If you worship nature, great. If it's meditation, great. If you worship sensuality, no problem. This is your road. Another reason that it is so attractive and so many people are on it is because there is plenty of space for you. Nobody gets in each other's way. Everything is great as long as your way and your truth does not pass judgment on someone else's. So stay in your own lane and you're good to go all the way to destruction. You want to know why people are on that road? It's because it has few boundaries on morality and conduct. Few boundaries. Few boundaries. Do whatever you want. But here's the problem. And hear this very clearly. On the wide road, on this easy, attractive wide road, here's the deal. The road itself is all that it has to offer. That one journey, just the trip, is all that it has to offer. And what many find out, what all who find out, is that even though that road is easy and that travel agent that booked it for you, that helped you get on that road, said it would be incredible, what happens is a couple of things. Many find how unsatisfying it is. They're on it, and there might be a little joy for a little while, but then it's unsatisfying. So then they try something else. They try some other desire. They try some other truth. They try some other, and they travel on it, and it might be okay for a little while, and then it's unsatisfying. It is the road that leads to destruction, and the truth that the Proverb 14:12 says is correct. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I thought it was really interesting. I was reading this week and preparing, and I read a quote from a man who chose Islam over Christianity. And listen to what he said. I think it's so interesting, fascinating. I don't have this one on the screen, but listen to what it said. He said this. He said, "Islam is a noble, broad path. There is room for a man and his sins on it. The way of Christ is too narrow." Isn't that crazy? I mean, he's jumping on that road, taking this truth that he's believing, but he's basically saying the truth. He's saying exactly what Christ is saying here. It is a narrow path, and any other path, the other path is broad. There's plenty of room for you and all your sins. The truth is, one day, every knee is going to bow. Every knee. And everyone's going to fall. The truth's going to be right there. Everyone's going to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Let's look at the narrow path. What's the narrow road look like? What's the narrow way? The way that Christ says And I know we don't like these words, but he says, this is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But the reward is life. What makes this path so narrow? And what makes it a road that very few travel? Look at verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. The gate pictured here and described by Jesus is very small. I see it as something you're looking at and you're having trouble finding it. It's easily overlooked. And then the road beyond it is narrow and difficult. It made me think of, I was a youth minister for 12 years, and during those years, I took many students and parents on ski trips. That was kind of the thing to do in the 90s. You took ski trips, you know. And so every year I'd plan the trip, and we would take students to Colorado or New Mexico or wherever, and we'd you know, go on these trips. And one of the things that you learn very quickly when you learn to ski is you are taught how important it is to read the signs on the mountain. It's very, very important. Because when you get to the top of the ski lift and you get off, you have to go down. You either get back on the ski lift and ride down and everybody laughs at you, or you start skiing and you've got to get down the mountain. But on that mountain, there are all these different paths and trails. And so it's very important to know which ones to go down. Green means what? Easy. It's broad, thank the Lord. It's wide. It's not as steep. And you know what? There are tons of people on that road, on that path. Then there's the blues, and you know, they're a little bit steeper, but they're still smooth, and they're fun as you kind of get better. But then there's these little tiny trails along the way that have these signs, and it looks like kind of like a horror movie. They're usually like tilted sideways, and they're like black diamond, double black diamond, triple black diamond. And you're kind of going along, and the problem with those paths is you can't ever even see the path. It's usually a drop off, and then you're going down. And these are narrow. They've got moguls. It's difficult on your legs. It is so hard. It's kind of intense and scary. And as I got better as a skier, I would stand at the top of those and look like, not today, and you would move on. Until that day that I just turned my skis, I'm like, I'm going to have to do this at some point. And you start going down, and you're working hard. And let me tell you that because of the steepness, those views were incredible. And when you get to the bottom, you have done something in your life that you feel really good about. And you go tell your friends, like, I did it. I did Black Diamond Purgatory, and it was awesome. Or what, you know. You feel good. There was reward when you went down that narrow path. The narrow road that Jesus describes is difficult. But friends, the reward is life. The reward is life. The reward is Christ. The reward is you get to be called a son or daughter of the King of Kings, of God, the creator of the universe. You get to be adopted into his family. The reward is life abundantly. But let's talk about why Jesus says this road is hard. What makes this road that leads to life so difficult, and what makes it so narrow? I think it's interesting that the root word for narrow here in the Greek that is used, it brings the idea when Jesus is saying the narrow road, that Greek word narrow really means distress. It means difficulty. In some translations, it means to groan or sigh. And the idea that few find it brings the idea, and I really love this, that we've got to be looking for that narrow road. We've got to be seeking it. Seeking the narrow road that leads to life. And that's a verse that God has been challenging me with this year, these last few weeks, is Jeremiah 29:13. And where it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you want to grow, if you're a believer and you are on that narrow road, if you want to grow in Christ, if you want to stop feeling like you're being lazy or you're plateauing in your spiritual life, you want to stop looking back and just remembering the good days of being close to God, then we have to seek Him. We have to abide in Him. We have to chase after Him. We have to keep our eyes on the narrow path. We can't get off that path. Again, back to skiing, I remember in high school, we went skiing at night in Colorado. They had lights on the path. And you had to stay on the path because that's the only place the lights were. And I remember my buddy, he said, "Oh, I remember this trail that goes into the woods." And he like starts turning, and I'm like, "No, there's no light." And then he got into the woods, and then all of a sudden the lights were gone. And I just heard crack. He comes out, his face mask is completely cracked. He's like, "Oh, there's no lights out there." We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. We got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Looking for them, seeking Him, getting excited. How many of you guys are excited about what lies ahead for you because of what Christ is doing in your life? How many of you are excited about where God is leading you? You're making your plans, but then you understand Scripture. You're like, "I'm going to make plans, but then I'm going to let God guide my steps because His ways are the best for me." Knowing that Christ is with me, so start moving. Turn those skis and drop down on that narrow path. It's exciting. Why is the road Jesus calls to us so narrow? Here's one reason: because the narrow path, the narrow road remains narrow. That's why it's narrow. It doesn't like, "Oh, good, it's going to broaden out here at some point." It just stays narrow. It's a narrow path. Those who travel the narrow road know that it's narrow, know that it's difficult. Why did Jesus say, "Take up your cross"? If you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. You got to deny yourself. It's a narrow road. But the good news is there's blessings when we trust the Lord to do this. There is abundant life. There is joy. There is peace. Even as the road remains narrow, there is joy. And that is only until you experience that. Why is the road narrow? The narrow road is narrow because it gives us boundaries on what we believe. Let me explain that. What do I mean by this? The narrow road gives us boundaries on what we believe. This is our boundary. This is truth. You can think you have your truth, but this is truth. And every person that tries to live by their own truth, it always fails. This has boundaries in it, so we know what truth is. Why would I say that? Here's the thing, I'm not saying it, okay? Jesus Christ said it. This is not me like, "Well, I think this is truth." No, this is truth because Jesus Himself said, guess what? "I am truth." That's three words. I'm going to take that. Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am truth." When this is truth, that means we can't make up our own truth, right? The narrow road sets boundaries on what we believe because we have to trust that this is truth. We don't get to listen to or believe anything that doesn't line up to God's truth. We come back because this truth is a boundary for our lives. It's a healthy boundary. It's a healthy, perfect boundary. And here's what we've got to understand. Boundaries bring freedom. I've used this illustration many times, but it's the best. It's one of my favorite memories as a parent. And it was when my kids were little, and they would go to my parents' house, who lived in Choctaw, and they had an acre, and along the edges of the acreage was woods. And for a little child, those woods looked a little scary. And so my kids would go outside and they would play, and I would come outside and they would always be on the patio or right by the patio. I'm like, guys, this is where I grew up. There's trails out there and there's things to see. There's places to run. But they didn't want to venture very far. And then one day my parents put up a fence along the edge. And the very next time my kids went to their house, I went outside and they were playing all over the property, all the way to the edge of the fence. That boundary brought them freedom to use the entire area that was safe. And it just always has stuck to me that these, God's word is truth, and it's a boundary for our lives to protect us, but then also to enjoy everything that is right and good that he set up. The narrow road is a boundary for what we believe. Here's another reason the narrow road is narrow is because it does two things. It expands and confines our thoughts about God. Okay, so how does that do both? What do I mean by this? After Christ saves us and we begin walking the narrow road or running the narrow road or chasing after Christ on the narrow, we continue to seek him. We should be seeking him and abiding in him and growing in him and learning. And when we do this, we begin to learn more about who God is. We get to learn more about his divine love, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his ways. Our mind is expanded. It grows to know more about who God is. But at the same time, when we are abiding in him and seeking his truth, we learn true doctrine. We learn truth. We begin to learn that there are many false religions, that there are many views of God that are not biblical. And we begin to see clearly false teachings like the prosperity gospel or world religions that do not believe that Jesus is God. It both expands our view of who God is, but it confines our view to know what truth is. That's the narrow road. Not only does it confine our thoughts about what is not truth, the narrow road confines our thoughts regarding salvation. And we talked about this last week. You just can't ignore John 14:6, right? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, nobody, not even one, comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's truth. That's truth. That is hard truth that many think is narrow-minded. Yeah. Yeah, narrow. To the world, this is narrow and exclusive, but this is truth. This comes from the mouth of Jesus, and there are many, many people on the broad road, and that road seems right to them, but in the end, it leads to death. And there will be a point where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there will also be a time where many that chose the broad road will say to Jesus, I'm here, don't you know me? And Christ will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And some will say, well, that's harsh. I don't get the argument of harsh because Jesus gave his life. He gave his life so that anyone could call on him and be saved. God had that plan. He said, I'm going to provide a way. I'm going to provide a way so people don't have to be destroyed and live a life that leads to destruction. I'm going to provide a way out of my love, my divine love, so that people can have life. And whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. This is love. That is grace. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Why is the road narrow? The narrow road confines our desires. I like the way one pastor stated, he said, our affections are narrowed when we're on the narrow road. What does this mean? I just go back to the Old Testament. I go back to Deuteronomy 6:5, which simply says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. in Jesus, we become new creations in Christ. This changes our life, right? It changes our heart. It begins to change our desires. We realize that not everything is okay. Because we go back to truth, we find those boundaries. It changes what we love to do. It changes what we love to say. It changes what we love to look at. It changes our conduct. God's word brings boundaries into our life for our protection. And in those that, you know, what the world would consider narrow boundaries, we find that joy. We find that freedom. We find peace. We find peace. Which brings us to the last description of why the narrow road is narrow. Or what, just to describe the narrow road. Here's the good news, all right? The narrow road brings true fulfillment. True fulfillment. What is the gospel called? The good news, yeah. That's what it's called. It's not the okay news. It's not the average news. It's not the terrible news. It's not the boring news. It is not the news that leads to a terrible life. It's the good news. It's the great news. It's the news that leads to eternal life. It leads to fulfillment. It leads to life abundant. It leads to joy. It leads to happiness. Years ago, we were working in a prison ministry, and I was talking to a man who had just received Christ, and his words out of his mouth was, "I finally have peace." That was his words. And until you know Christ, you don't know that peace. But when you do, you know what he's talking about, right? It doesn't mean that life is easy after that. It means that it actually gets more narrow, and we have to trust the Lord, and we have to follow his ways, and we have to chase after the prize and keep our eyes focused very clearly and to seek him. But in Christ, on that road, we find true peace, true joy. Jesus pleads, "Enter by the narrow gate." The Gospel of Luke, the correlating verse, Luke 13:24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." We can't just step outside and look at it and you're like, "What a great sermon. What a great teacher. What a great message that Jesus guy preached. What great commands." We can't just stare at the two gates and the two roads. There is no standing. There's no waiting around. You are either on the broad road right now or you are on the narrow road. That's it. That's the truth. And again, I'm reminded, going back to Joshua 24:15, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve." Which road are you on? Are you on the road that leads to death? Or are you on the road that leads to life? The good news is there's salvation in Christ. There's good news. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift. The greatest gift ever given. The gift of God. Not of your own works so that you can't boast, but it is grace." The good news is this too. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Enter the narrow gate. Get on the road that leads to life. Believers, if you are on that road, if you know that Christ has saved you, keep seeking. Don't stop to rest. Don't get off the path a little bit. Keep seeking. Keep running, really. Running the race. So Paul said, "I'm running after the prize." Keep choosing, keep abiding, keep seeking the Lord, and you will find him on that narrow road. And friends, there's joy. There really is joy there. It's hard to understand as we look at the craziness of this world, but in Christ, on the narrow road, there is life. There's abundant life. There's peace. Which road are you on? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the good news of salvation. Thank you that you provided a way to find life. Thank you that you have very clearly shown us the two roads. You've given the warning of the broad road that leads to death, but you've also shown us very clearly the narrow way that leads to life. Work in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would save people. I pray that you would have reminded believers the good news of the gospel, reminded that your way is right, it is exciting, it is filled with joy, even if it's hard. God, we love you. We give you all the glory. We praise you. We worship you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.